I'd ask that you take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 2. Matthew 2, as we'll look at the first 13 verses briefly together this morning. Matthew chapter 2, hear these familiar words from verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Congregation, beloved of our incarnate Savior, Jesus Christ, where is he? It's one of the most powerful questions this morning in this text. It's a question that rings with intention. It's a question that reveals motivations. It's a question that should bring forth an answer and a subsequent action. It's a question that we need to ask and answer then this day as well. Where is he? The Magi asked this question first in our text. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the land of Herod, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." We don't know how much time has passed between the birth of the Savior and this interaction. It may have been days, it could have been weeks, it may have been months. The scriptures don't make the timing plain for us. And it's ultimately not Matthew's concern in his gospel. Instead, his concern is to make plain not only the fulfillment that this Christ child is, but the plain call to worship him that is given not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles, and by extension in this day, to all of us. And in the days where Herod, not a Jew, was ruling over the Jews by the appointment of Rome, what does Matthew want us to see? Behold, look, it is a language that Matthew uses more than any of the other Gospels. Look, a caravan of wise men. Again, let's not buy into the tradition of three, and we know their name because there are three. They've come from the east. This is a traveling party. This is a caravan that has come. Magi from the east. Those that have come from Babylon or Persia, men trained in the study of astronomy, those that practiced astrology, those who practiced a clear sin, as outlined in the word of the Lord. And yet the Lord chooses these men to reveal something wondrous to. The caravan enters into Jerusalem, into the capital of Judea, and they travel straight where? Well, they go to the palace. Where else will we find a king? And so it enters there. Because in searching for the king, the common sense assumption would be he is found there. Where is he? We have seen a star. We have seen this phenomenon that speaks to us concerning the birth of a royal. We've seen something that we've never seen before, and it brings us here. Where is the child that we may worship? Where is the child that we may pay homage and give allegiance to our king? The Magi ask a good question. But on that first day, what we consider the first Christmas or near then, they ask the right question, but they go to the wrong place. And that question, as we ask it Christmas Day, and as others ask it, many people, are still looking in the wrong place. Where is he? They don't find Jesus in the ways or places that make sense to them. Their searching is good, but they will never find Jesus apart from his word. That too is a gift we've been given at Christmas. Because in being given that word, and it is so vital, brothers and sisters, that we know this word for this very reason. That as we give ourselves to it, we are ready with an answer from it. As we give ourselves to the word, we are able to help people in their searching and their questions, that we may bring them to the right place, or rather to the right one, that we would bring them to Jesus. It's why what we do here as a church matters. It's why what we do is essential, that we would bring people to come and hear and find what their hearts will never find on their own, that they would come and be changed, that they would come and pay homage, that they would come and give their worship. Where is he? Herod the king is the next in our text to ask the question. He asked the question because he's king. Verse 3, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Herod was the king, but not by birth. He became king because he was ruthless by warfare and politics and by appointment. In today's verbiage, perhaps a gangster. And so the entrance of this caravan and this party was troubling enough because Herod was a tyrant. Nothing happens in my city without my knowing it. Nothing happened under his reign that wasn't in one way or another calculated. He rebuilt the temple to keep the loyalty and control of the Jews, those who wanted status and reputation and power. And so this entrance of this caravan was troubling not only to him, but as this inquiry was made by the Magi, unrest grew in the hearts and the lives of the people because this is trouble. Something's brewing. And political unrest means unrest for all of us. Hardship will come by this. So who's claiming right to this rule? Who would be born to whom homage would be due and willingly given even by Gentiles? So Herod asked the question, where is he? And so he assembles all the chief priests and scribes of the people, inquiring of them, where is the Christ to be born? I don't know your word. I don't know your prophecies. All I know is my power and authority. I know my place. And I'm not going to give it up for another. There are those today who ask this question, where is he? As those troubled. As those who do not wish to believe, but those who wish to question with doubt, with hatred, and with no desire to give up the control of the throne of their hearts. Where is Jesus? It's not a question wanting an answer. It's a question with an indictment. Where is Jesus? Where's your king? Why do you go and worship today? Don't you know what's happening in this world? Look at all the trouble and the sorrow and the disease and the brokenness. Look at that. Where is Jesus? Look to him. We look to the government for that help. We look to powerful people for that help. We look to money for that help. We look to the structures of this world for power and for peace and for status. Where is Jesus? They're not looking because they'd rather be their own master or submit to masters that cannot heal and cannot save. People of God today, there are unbelievers troubled by the word and news of Christmas and who wish to dismiss it, to know more that they might refute it, to look to men and the structures of men to overthrow such thoughts and such speech regarding a heavenly king and a child born in Bethlehem and a glorious gospel. And when they inquire and when they threaten it, will we be bold enough? Will we be dependent enough upon our God to speak truth and live truth no matter what as a testimony to Jesus? Where is he? The question is also asked by the chief priests and the scribes of all the religious elites and the leaders of the Jews. It's a question which they already have an answer for. When Herod inquires where the Christ is to be born, verse 5, they told him in Bethlehem of Judea. Duh. For so it is written by the prophet, "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." The Jews knew the word. Of course that's where he's to be born. They continued to give themselves to the study of the word. They passed that word from generation to generation. Throughout their history and generations, they knew the word. But did they heed it? Did they really care about it? They knew the answer, but no one was standing constant watch in Bethlehem. They knew where he would come from, but they weren't waiting for his coming. They knew the answer, but they failed to act upon it. That even as they see this caravan coming in and they hear the question of the inquiry, why aren't they gunning the 6 miles to Bethlehem? Let's go. Let's find him who's promised. Nope. Because this is just another right answer out of hundreds and thousands of right answers. It was head knowledge that never took the time, or they never took the time to have migrate to their hearts. In the words of one commentator, the Jews had taken the good news of a coming Savior for granted, and because of it, they were more worried about their standing among rulers and men than in following the Lord and searching diligently for his Son. And that response isn't just a Jewish one. It can be known in covenant people sitting in the pews of conservative Reformed churches too, because we're brought up with the word. And the story, can't we hear something new, Pastor? I mean, it's the same thing every year. And we know the story. Everybody knows the story. We're trained in the word. We're catechized in its truth. We know the Christmas story. We know the events. We know the traditions. We know the carols. But do you know the Lord? Do you truly know him? Not just stuff. Do you know him? Do you know his promise? Do you know Jesus Christ longing for his appearing? Not just one celebrated at Christmas, but one that is coming. When we hear good news, are we ready and willing to act upon it? And go tell everyone, he's been born, come and see, let's go. What a contrast between the shepherds and the magi and the leaders. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. Where is our passion to seek the Lord while he may be found? Where is our passion to call upon the Lord while he is near? Or are we just sitting in pews having right answers and believing we have a better place and position in this life because we've been blessed with things of the world and tradition? Are we still remaining here as those complacent to the wonder of the gospel and his promise to us, the very reason that Christ was born in the first place? You see, where is he is a question you have to ask yourself. And it's when you receive that question that an answer and response should come. If we receive the good news of the gospel, it should compel us to draw near to God and his Son, Jesus Christ. And again, it's another of the remarkable contrasts Matthew sets up in these words. For the Magi and Herod and the Jewish leaders are brought to the word of God and its truth. The response of the Jews, apathy and indifference, as though seeking to save themselves by knowledge and self-righteousness. The response of Herod, veiled hatred, looking for intel instead of relationship and worship. In fact, that's why he summons them, right? Go and search diligently for the child. And when you found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. Translation, that I may end him. Of all people, it's not the usual that you expect, but it's shepherds in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. It's Gentiles. It's the Magi, Gentile astrologers, who show forth what it is to be changed by the hearing of the good news of the place of Jesus. They needed to hear the word. It's why they needed to be brought to that place, that the Jewish leaders unknowingly to them become evangelists. What a reversal that God makes. But it's known to the Father, whose plan to bring these magi and their caravan to his son is seen then in their response to the word, summarized in four words that I want you to take with you today. The magi were seeking. Verse 9, after listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. After hearing the word, they're given eyes to see the glory and work of the Lord. That they are led out, not by a star, but by a glory cloud to the place of deliverance. Having now been made a part of God's story of redeeming a people to himself, a greater exodus that will now be found in the child. Second, they were finding. And what did they find? In being given simply the sign of the one whom they'd come to worship, they find joy. That the receipt of the gospel should bring us joy. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. They hadn't even seen Jesus yet and were overwhelmed with great joy of great news that would be for all people. And that encouragement gave them all the more encouragement to seek and find the desire of their heart. And when they did, the magi were worshiping. Verse 11, and going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and they worshiped him. They're overwhelmed in finding what they had long journeyed for. And then opening their treasures, they'd offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. They offer him the gifts of a king. They offer to him the sign of respect of coming to the presence of royalty and of the divine. They offer themselves. They offer the best of gifts, which will be used to honor him and to provide for him, as we'll continue to see in our study together of the book of Matthew. But then fourth, the magi were obeying. Verse 12, and being warned in a dream to return to Herod, not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. They go back with the command of God. And notice that the word will not be spoken again to Herod. No, you've heard it. You've been given the gospel and you've rejected it. No, there's a place that needs that word first. Go back to your country. Go back with the news of what you have heard and seen. They go out now, having been granted the Messiah and receiving with joy that which had been given, they go out with his gospel, even as the disciples of this baby will go out into all Jerusalem and into Judea and into Samaria and to the ends of the earth. People of God, do you know this Savior? Is this your response to the gospel? Do you know where he is? Do you know where he is right now? Do you know his word? And are you responding to it in this way by faith, believing in the Son of God who loved you enough to take on your flesh, who loved you enough to be the gift given, sacrificed for all our sins? Don't look in the wrong place today. It's easy to do. Don't respond like Herod and the Jewish leaders. That's easy to do too. But rejoice that the word of God and the glory of God have led you and all his people, even this day, to see through his word the wonder of the Christ, that you would rejoice and worship and obey this Messiah King. Amen. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth and comfort of this word. We pray, Father, would we have the right not only answer to this question, where is he? But a proper response in joy and thanks and in praise. Thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that we may give gifts today, even as that reminder of the wonder of what has been given and what was given to him. And Father, we offer all of it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.